This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. 7 days from now, tens of thousands of writers around the country will put down their pens, hit save on their laptops, and declare themselves novelists, or maybe just survivors. It's 1 week to the deadline for National Novel Writing Month, the absurd, absorbing, exponentially growing challenge to write a substantial work of fiction, 50,000 words total, in 30 days. National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo as it's nicknamed, exists as the spur for all the daydreamers who've ever said that someday, we'll write the great American novel. With this kind of deadline, to heck with planning, to heck with painstaking prose or exhaustive research, the only advice is to write and write and write some more. Later on in the program, we'll discuss a novel that never made it to the 50,000-word mark, but got published last month anyway, the fragmentary start to Patrick O'Brien's 21st and final novel in the celebrated Aubrey Maturin series. But first, we want to hear from you. If you're participating in NaNoWriMo, we invite you to risk your daily word count by taking a break to give us a call and tell us about your experience. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And we have an email challenge for all of you, since our novelists are so close to the end of the month and the end of their books. Give them a hand. Email us your favorite last line from fiction. The address is totn@npr.org. Again, your favorite closing line from a novel you can't use, and then they got hit by a truck, totn@npr.org. Joining us now from the studios of the University of California at Berkeley is Chris Beatty, the founder of National Novel Writing Month and the author of No Plot, No Problem, a low-stress, high-velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be here, Neil.
So wherever did you get the idea for your book?
Well, you probably wouldn't be surprised to hear that it came from the bottom of a very tall cup of coffee. The idea started back in 1999 here in the Bay Area when, back in 1999 in the Bay Area, there really was no such thing as a bad idea. And so this concept of writing a novel very quickly kind of fit right in with the times.
And you've written a novel every year?
I have. I've written, I have five mediocre first drafts to my credit, and I'm working on my sixth right now.
How's it going?
Well, slowly but surely. I'm at the 32,000 word point, and looking forward to having a couple 5,000 word days.
Yeah, you're going to need them. let me ask you, give us a sense of the ground rules. I mean, obviously, the time limit we know, and if you came in at 49,999 words, that wouldn't be enough?
Well, I mean, at 4,999 words, you would have had an amazing literary adventure, but you would not be a winner. And in order to be a winner, basically, the rules are that you have to write 50,000 words of fiction starting from scratch on November 1st. Now, you can do outlines, you could come up with, some ideas for your characters, but no previously written prose is allowed. And you basically just dive into this month with, a few ideas and see what comes out. And then at the end of the month, if you have written 50,000 words, then you upload a version of your novel to our robotic word counters on our website, and they will then ascertain whether you have indeed crossed the 50,000 word mark, at which point your name will be thrown up on the hallowed and revered winner's page, and you will also then get a very important winner's certificate that you can wave in the face of anybody who's ever doubted you.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the special thrill of writing a novel so quickly?
Well, I think that what it does, and the kind of magic in it all, is that by shoving the whole thing into such an absurdly short amount of time, you're finally able to put away those kind of self-defeating worries about, is this sentence good enough? Is this character flat? Did I just steal this entire plot from another book? And instead, you tend to focus on just getting the words out. And I think that for a first draft, that is an absolute recipe for success, because you're writing, with a combination of excitement of meeting that daily word count and also absolute terror in missing it. And it's a real creative push in the right direction.
We've collected some pithy sayings about novel writing from some famous people. William Gibson, the famous science fiction writer, said, "You must learn to overcome your very natural and appropriate revulsion for your own work."
I think that that's true. I think also one of the things that you do need to overcome is this sense of reverence for other books that you've read, or actually to not overcome that reverence, but to not apply that that vision to your own first draft, because a first draft is just born to be bad, I think. And you know, I think all of the books that we've loved that have meant so much to us did start out as very awkward and cliche-filled books. And I think the important thing to remember is that, you know, all of those mistakes and all of those kind of inept turns of phrase can all be fixed in the rewrite before anybody sees it and knows what a bad writer you really are.
Let me throw in another one. This one from Michael Crichton. Books are not written, they are rewritten, he said, including your own. It is one of the hardest things to accept, especially after the seventh rewrite hasn't quite done it.
I think that's especially true. I think, you know, a lot of people participate in National Novel Writing Month and come away just supercharged with this real creative energy, and then comes the nightmare of the rewrite, where you realize that what is created a month can sometimes take years and years to revise.
Let's get some callers on the line if you'd like to join us. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. Don't forget the email challenge, your favorite closing line from a novel, and would you have a nominee for that, by the way, Chris Batty?
I would have to think about that one. There are so many good opening and good closing lines. I'll think about it, though.
You ponder while we take this call from Sandra, who's calling from Westtown, New York.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, this has been just an exciting experience.
You're doing it.
Month. Yes, I am.
And how's it going?
I'm at 44,454 words.
That's the home stretch.
Congratulations, yeah. Sandra.
Thanks.
What kind of novel are you writing, Sandra?
I'm writing a novel about a woman who's thought she was in this very happy marriage, and then her husband sort of comes to her after 16 years and says he doesn't want to be married to her anymore.
And is this one of those novels that after your husband reads it, he's going to look up at you and say, should we schedule an appointment with a therapist?
No, I don't think so.
So this is not from your life?
No, it's not. It's funny because when I first found out about the challenge, I had been working on an idea for a novel, and I'd been researching it and really spending a lot of time on it. And about a week before we were supposed to start, I got this idea in the shower, and I heard the opening line, and that was it. So I've been actually writing this one. I didn't outline it or anything, and I've just been going.
What's your opening line?
Oh, it was just, you know, the husband saying, I don't want to be married to you anymore.
Well, you're getting right to the point. No dilly-dallying.
Right.
We have some email responses to our challenge for best last line from a novel. And here's one from Lee Tay in Palo Alto, California. I suppose my favorite last line, he writes, is the one ending James Joyce's Ulysses. However, it's 60 pages long. My second thing, we thank you for not sending it. My second favorite last line is a bit shorter. If you don't know what it's from, go to work in a shoe store, and it's, and so we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. That's not bad. You might not want to steal that one, Sandra?
No, I don't think so. I haven't really thought about it. I kind of have an idea of how I want it to end, but I haven't really been thinking about. I've just been writing it instead of plotting it out.
And I, by the way, can stop Googling the for openings in the shoe business. I'm told by somebody who's better read than I, or has a better memory in this case, that was from The Great Gatsby. So, Here's another fave ending, this one from the George Orwell novel, Animal Farm. The creatures outside looked from pig to man and from man to pig and from pig to man again, but already it was impossible to say which was which. That from Casey Lynch in Oklahoma City. Those are both pretty good.
That is. I wish I had, I should have prepared.
Well, we don't want to intimidate you, and then they got hit by a truck is just fine.
Right.
Thank you for the call, Sandra.
Okay, thank you.
Joining us now is a NaNoWriMo participant from the Bay Area who's earned a rather dubious honor amongst his peers. We'll let him explain it. Clifford Brooks joins us now from Union City, California, and it's good to have you on the program.
Thanks. How are you?
I'm well, but I understand this is not such a great time to be Clifford Brooks.
Well, one of the cool things about NaNoWriMo is that Chris made it very easy for writers who are doing this to get together and to support each other. And in the South Bay, a group has been getting together for, I believe, 4 years now. And What we do is on Thursdays, we meet at a coffee shop and other days during the week also, and we just plug into a big power bar, and we all sit there and type away. And at one of the meetings, one of the participants, her son, came, and he was 16 years old, and he leaned over and read my screen, my computer screen, while I was typing. And I'm writing a horror novel, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he read the scene, and he burst out laughing. And then he read it for everyone else so they could get a good laugh, too.
It wasn't supposed to be funny, I take
it. No, it wasn't supposed to be funny at all. And so I ended up writing a scene and killing him off in my novel.
A character by his name.
Yes, with his name. I killed him off in my novel, and he thought it was very amusing. So the next time we met, he had killed me off in his novel. And it kind of grew legs on the NaNoWriMo boards. And people all over the place started killing me off. And I think it was his mother who actually started that, who actually implemented that to get that going. And so,
what's been the most entertaining way that you've read about that you've been killed?
Well, probably the original one by Philip, because he had me mutated first. And so I had all these extra arms and appendages before I finally died.
And I hope flopping and causing just a tremendous scene.
Of course, yeah.
Does this bother you any?
No, not at all. I guess because I write horror, it kind of it seems appropriate.
So you being devoured by Cthulhu or one of his minions is not a big deal?
Not at all. Uh-huh. Not at all. That's actually a very cool thing.
Now, in the process of knocking off your friends, have you ever reached 50,000 words by the deadline?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is my fourth time doing this, and I've made it all three times. This time's going to be kind of hard because I'm writing the end of a trilogy, and so I keep going back to the other two novels in the trilogy.
So you think you're going to make it?
It's going to be really hard. It's going to be a lot of coffee and a lot of long nights, but I think so.
Uh-huh. And have you, you've gone back and read that other stuff. I mean, you can bear to look at it.
Yeah, and some of it is, it's funny because because of the pressure of doing all these words each day, you end up coming up with some very creative stuff that comes straight from the subconscious, and then you come up with some real crap, too. So you kind of have to balance it out during the editing process.
Clifford Brooks, thank you very much, and we wish you a long life except in fiction.
Thank you. Take care.
Clifford Brooks is a 3-year veteran of National Novel Writing Month, and he was with us from Union City, California. Let's get another caller on the line. This is David, who's in Walnut Creek, California.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
My wife just finished her book last night at about 3 in the morning.
And wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, way to go.
Congratulations to her. I was just an innocent bystander.
Well, I was going
to
ask, what was your part in all of this?
She would bounce ideas off of me, and I would help her with some of the details just about, would this work, would that work? She ended up writing a book about a relationship that kind of goes wrong after a number of years, but then there's a little bit of mystery that was thrown in just to add a little extra flavor. She has been a poet, unpublished and in her own mind for a number of years, and when she found out about this little project, she dove straight into it, and it was pretty much a nonstop thing. I mean, she'd get 1 or 2 days behind on her schedule, and she'd be frantic. I have to get caught up.
Well, Chris Batty, she's finished early. Does she get any extra points for either finishing early or maybe throwing in a novella?
Well, there are no awards given out for, quickest written novel or most words shoved in. And we have some people who do write 2 50,000-word novels in a month because a single 50,000-word novel is not enough of a challenge for them.
David, can you tell us what her last line was?
Not off the top of my head, but the one other interesting thing that I wanted to say is that at some point, about halfway through the month, the book started writing itself, and I think that's when she really hit her stride, when, to her, the book had taken on a life of its own, and everything just seemed to make sense, and the book pretty much finished itself without her having to put too much effort into it.
I think there will be a lot of people listening who will want to know the brand of her word processor.
Microsoft Word.
David, thanks very much, and again, I wish your wife congratulations.
Thank you.
We're talking about National Novel Writing Month. We also have an email challenge going as these novels come up to the finish line. We're asking for your favorite last line from fiction. Liam Palmer in Portland, Oregon says his favorite last line comes from Frank Herbert's Children of Dune. He says it's a doozy. One of us had to accept the agony, and he was always the stronger. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're 3 weeks into the National Novel Writing Month competition, a perfect time to lure over-caffeinated, sleep-deprived, aspiring speed novelists away from their laptops to discuss why the heck they are doing this. Why? Why spend a month writing 50,000 words that will probably never be seen? What do you hope for come December 1st? Bragging rights? A book contract? Some sleep? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. And if you've got an unpublished novel gathering dust in a drawer somewhere, what does it mean to you now that you've written it? Again, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. There's also an email challenge today. Give our aspiring novelists a hand. Send us your favorite last line from a novel, TOTN at npr.org. We have one from Sydney Bieber. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it was still hot. The last line from Maurice Sendak's Where the Wild Things Are. With us this hour is Chris Beatty. He's the founder of NaNoWriMo, and he's with us from Berkeley, California, and the University of California at Berkeley. Let's get another caller on the line. Jonathan is with us from Eaton, Ohio.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing, Neil?
Good.
I love your show. I had a question for your guest. I've been having an idea for a book for years. It involves mortals, immortals. It got a love story in it.
Sounds like a bestseller to me.
The only thing is, I don't know how to write a book. Everybody says just put your idea down on paper, but that's not as easy as it sounds, especially when you have characters that's got definite roles. And how do you go about doing that? That's my question.
Well, Chris Beatty, you're the man to ask.
I think that's a great question, and I would say the answer is imperfectly. I think that the best thing that you can do to actually get your book written is to set aside these notions that it's going to be absolutely brilliant, and that if it's not brilliant on the first draft, then you should bury your computer in the backyard and pretend the whole thing never happened. I think that really what you do need to do is give yourself a deadline, and I think that's kind of the core of the National Novel Writing Month event, that because we have so many things going on in our life, you know, work life, family life, relationships, things like that, that the best thing that you can do is instead of drawing this out over years and years and kind of letting that intimidation build up, to just really set a start date and set an end date and let everybody around you know when that end date will be so that they can give you both encouragement and dangle that fear of a mockery over your head while you write. And I think that when you do break it down into sort of daily word counts and then also just a short amount of time, I think that you will find that that book does write itself, just like David was saying that his wife had found.
So, are you going to start with an outline or something like that, Jonathan?
Well, I got so much going on right now. I really don't have time. I start putting things down on cassette with a recorder, just kind of throwing my ideas out there. But I haven't even set up I don't even have a computer. So, right now, I don't know how long it's going to take. But it's a great book. It'll make a perfect movie. I just don't know how to write it.
Well, Chris Beatty, there's loads of writers I've read about who said, you know, before I got up and went to work every morning or after I came home every night, I made sure that I wrote one page or whatever it is, and you're amazed at the end of a year you've got a novel.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is really surprising to me and has been every year, you know, how if you are writing regularly, those words just really stack up. I mean, I write my 50,000 words. Usually I spend about 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week, and then give myself, you know, 2 days off a week. And it really, you know, it is surprising how quickly that novel can come out of you when you just give it a little bit of structure.
Jonathan, good luck.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Joining us now from Arlington, Virginia, is journalist Jim Lehrer, the host of PBS's The NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. Is also a prolific novelist. 14 titles to his name so far. The latest is Flying Crows. And Jim Lehrer, good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Well, thank you, Neil. Pleasure to be here.
We've been talking about National Novel Writing Month, which at its core aims to address one of the fundamental problems for a lot of writers, work ethic. You host a daily news show. How do you carve out time to write novels?
Well, because it's important to me. You know, things that are important to you, you find time to do them. Somebody says, I don't have time to do something. I just think to myself, I may not say it, but I think to myself, well, that means, friend, you don't really want to do it. No matter how busy you are, and if novel writing is the thing you want to do, you can find time to do it. I do a little bit on a novel literally every day. If it's not necessarily composing a brand new, wonderful, magnificent sentence or paragraph or page or chapter, but it may be editing, it may be something, and it's just a natural part of my life now. I don't even, when I get up in the morning, I don't think about, oh, am I going to write today? I think only what I'm going to write today.
Do you hold yourself to a certain pace, number of words per day, pages?
No. It, somebody said just a moment ago, it all adds up if you really stick with it. See, the other problem with not sticking with it on a daily basis, at least for me, is that it gets cold. And once something gets cold, you have to get warm again, and that takes time. And I have my approach to writing is that it's when I'm involved in writing a novel, and I always am. It's like having a low-grade fever. It's with me all the time. So I can talk, like tonight I'm going to be interviewing some people about the crisis in Ukraine. But I'm thinking about doing some work now on a novel that takes place on a train in the 1950s in the middle of the plains of Kansas. I have no problems going right back to that after I do the Ukraine tonight.
Now, do you ever feel, you know, if I could just get rid of this pesky day job and stop thinking about those interviews about the Ukraine, my novels would win Nobel Prizes?
You know, I used to think that way. I don't anymore. I'm one of those fortunate people who is able in every way to do what I want to do. I love doing this daily journalism. I love doing the NewsHour, and I love writing my novels. And as long as I can do both, why bother? Why worry about giving up one of them?
Do you get a lot of sleep?
Oh, sure. See, I get up early in the morning, and I do my – I work – the NewsHour, we work what is commonly referred to as morning newspaper hours.
Mm-hmm.
We have our first editorial meeting at 10:15. Well, I come to work at 8, and there's nobody here. So I do all my – not all my work, but I do most of my novel writing during those early morning hours when I'm here at the office. And I work on weekends. My wife, Kate, is also a novelist, so we speak the same emotional language, so that helps if one of us goes into a fiction funk the other one understands. So I got all kinds of advantages. Also, being in daily journalism as long as I have, I mean, I can go from a dead run to a dead run to a dead run, from one subject to another subject. And I think with my fingers now, not with my head. And people might say that's obvious by watching a TV show, but nevertheless, it's all. I'm just very fortunate that what I have, the powers and the tools that I have at my disposal now are just right on.
You write at work, so I guess it helps to be the boss.
Yes, but I come in before everybody else comes in. See, you missed the crucial thing.
Ah.
I'm just borrowing my office from the company because I am the boss, right? but no, it's just, when I travel, I always have a laptop. I'm always working. It's always part of I'm making notes or I'm doing some editing or I'm doing some research. I do all my own research on all my novels because I just love doing it so much. So it's just part of my life.
Could you imagine 50,000 words in 30 days?
Oh, sure. Oh, that would be, I mean, then what? I'd have time left over.
All right.
I really do. I do. My problem is, frankly, that I write too fast sometimes, and the disadvantage is that I have to keep going over and over and over and over it again to make it work. And but I'd rather have it that way than the other.
We have an email challenge going for our listeners today, and I wondered if you wanted to contribute your favorite last line from any novel.
Favorite last line from any novel.
While you think for a moment, I will tell you that Christy Henry in St. Louis emailed us to suggest the last line from Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known.
Well, my favorite last line is from my next novel, which is being published in May of 2005, and it's called The Franklin Affair. It's about Ben Franklin and a modern-day thing, back and forth, etc. And the last line is, he couldn't help but wonder what Ben would think about that.
So we're going to see WWBD pins out on the in around the country after this book comes out. Jim Lehrer, good luck with it.
Hey, thank you very much, Neil.
And good luck, as always, with the NewsHour.
I appreciate that very much, sir.
Jim Lehrer is the author of 14 novels. The latest is Flying Crows, and he joined us from his office in Arlington, Virginia, where he hosts the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. Let's get some more listeners on the line with us, and let's go to Amy. Amy's calling from Olathe. Am I pronouncing that right, in Kansas?
Olathe,
yeah. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I've got to 40,000 words, and what I found was that at the beginning it was so hard to write, and every day it was a struggle. And then eventually, I guess in the past week, it's an hour for 2,500 words.
So you've really picked up the pace.
Yes.
And you're beginning to think, this is how Stephen King does it.
Yes, exactly.
Do Chris Beatty, do a lot of your writers have that experience?
I think that there is a typical trajectory that actually week one, though, tends to be very easy for people when they do get into this rush of realizing like, oh, my gosh, this is coming out so easily. I should have been writing novels all my life. I'm going to write six of these this month. And then week two tends to come, and that's when reality tends to return. And it feels a little bit like a truck running over your face where your enthusiasm kind of wanes and the sleep deprivation tends to catch up with you a little bit. And your support networks also tend to get a little bit bored with the whole project where they kind of think, okay, you kind of started this as a lark. It's time that you kind of drop out and start washing dishes or washing yourself again. And and I think, though, that week three and four do tend to people get their groove and they really, I think, tend to the book tends to come together at that point. The plot also tends to kind of become more cohesive. And so weeks three and four are really usually just sort of triumphant runs towards the finish line.
Amy, it sounds like you've got a small distraction there in your home.
Yes, I have a little baby, and it's amazing. I mean, I guess if I can do it, anyone can do it when you have a two-year-old and a little baby. So,
do you read your work to her or him to see how it's going?
No, they tell you some very good advice on the website. Do not read anything that you've written. Just plow ahead.
Not even to a pre-vocal critic?
Nope.
Okay.
Don't read it
rules.
At all until you're done.
Okay. Okay, Amy, good luck with finishing.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Another of our famous people commenting on the novel writing process. I'm all in favor of keeping dangerous weapons out of the hands of fools. Let's start with typewriters, said Frank Lloyd Wright. So, and here's another of our email challenge responders. This from Matt, who emails us that his favorite closing line from a novel is from Charlotte's Web by E.B. White. It is not often that someone comes along who is a true friend and a good writer. Charlotte was both. That's a pretty good one. That's not bad at all. Our last caller mentioned some more ground rules that you suggest on the website for doing the National Novel Writing Month. Chris Beatty, don't look for response from anybody?
Well, I think my advice is really to kind of keep it this sort of private adventure that's happening. I mean, not the writing process itself, which I think is great to actually meet up with people in coffee shops and write together, but the actual content of your book. I have found personally that when I kind of share that breakthrough, you know, and today they found the bones in the bottom of the swimming pool, then suddenly the excitement of writing that part of the story kind of dwindles. And so I like the idea of kind of keeping those to myself, kind of keep the kettle boiling the whole time, and then kind of sharing it at the very end when everything's done.
Here's an email question from Dave Reichow. How do you type 50,000 words in a month and not wreck your wrists with carpal tunnel syndrome?
I think that's an absolutely great question, and it is. You need to be very aware that if you start to get any sort of tingles or any sort of problems, and I do have carpal tunnel, I find that you really do tend to, you don't necessarily need to write a whole lot in one sitting in order to make your word count, unless you fall dangerously far behind, which many of us tend to do. But I would say that you just really need to be aware of things like posture and taking breaks as you write.
We're talking about National Novel Writing Month, November, if you were curious, with its founder, Chris Beatty. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Bonnie is calling us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi.
Hi, Bonnie. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm here to encourage anybody who thinks writing a novel is too overwhelming, because I wrote my first novel, and it was published in June by Random House, Sleeping with Schubert, and there's an amazing story behind it, which is that I had written one short story before it and started a second one, and I forgot about it for several years until a friend asked to look at it, and she said, oh, I like this. Write it till it's finished, and so I did.
And it turned into a novel, and you got it published.
I did, and there's a trick that worked for me. What happened was that I got into a pattern of writing a page a day, just like, you know, your guest says, the words pile up. And I think the reason I was able to do it was because when my friend read the first seven pages, she said, write it till it's finished. And I felt like I could do that. But honestly, if she had said to me, write a book, I would have said, you are out of your mind. I could never do that. But taking it down to a size I could do felt very comfortable. You write a page a day for a year, and there you go. You have a manuscript.
That all sounds like great advice, Chris Beatty. But that's another contest. That's the taking the novel out of the drawer contest.
Yeah, true. But it's encouragement that if I could do it, there's hope for anyone.
Well, Bonnie, congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, Chris Beatty. She got her novel published not through the device of your contest, but has anyone who's been in the National Novel Writing Month contest, has anybody published?
Sure. Actually, we've had, to date, we've had two that I know of kind of mainstream sales of manuscripts. One to Pinnacle Books, and that was a writer named John Mertz, who wrote back in NaNoWriMo 2001. And then in 2002, we had a woman named Lonnie Diane Rich, who was about ready to kind of give up on the whole novel writing thing, having written a few, three-chapter novels, let's say. Mm-hmm. And she ended up writing a book in National Novel Writing Month, which was not horrible at all, and she revised it into something that was very good and got that book to an agent who then sold it to Warner Books in a two-book deal. And she's now a full-time novelist.
Is there any, equivalent month in December of National Editing Month where people can get some help?
There is. There's National Novel Editing Month, or a NaNoEdMo, which is it takes place in March every year. And there is a website for that as well, nanoedmo.org.
Let's see if we get one more caller on the line. Anna is with us from Boulder, Colorado?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi. I have a PhD in creative writing, and I've been teaching writing for about 7 years. And since I've been doing NaNoWriMo, I've written more in the past 3 weeks than I have in the past 3 years. And I just wanted to thank Chris Beatty so much.
Hmm.
So oh, that's a great story.
That's and when you figure when you come out at the end of this, you're going to have something you could work with, Anna?
Absolutely. Only about half of it. I'm planning to do the second half in December.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Way to go, Anna.
Thanks for the phone call. We have a couple of emails left with great last lines from Anna Victoria Malofsky at the University of Michigan Medical School. There was the hum of bees and the musky odor of pinks filled the air. That from Kate Chopin's The Awakening. And here is from Mary Nesbitt in San Francisco. Now small fowls screw screaming over the yet yawning gulf. A sullen white surf beat against its steep sides, then all collapsed in the great shroud of the sea, rolled on as it rolled 5,000 years ago. The last line, of course, to Moby Dick. Chris Beatty, did you come up with one?
I like Jim Lehrer's last line, actually.
Yeah. I still like it, and then they got run over by a truck, but that's just me. Chris Beatty, continued good luck finishing your novel this year.
Thanks so much.
And continued good luck with the National Novel Writing Month. We appreciate your being with us today.
Thank you.
Chris Beatty is also the author of No Plot, No Problem, a low-stress, high-velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days. And he joined us from the studios at the University of California at Berkeley.